Yes, friends, following those classic gospel favorites, we're back here on the Way Back Country Jamboree Morning Show and Christmas Jamboree as well. With that mentioned, we are back here on the other side of the 9 o'clock hour here this morning. And once again, we are still coming to you, as always, via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios in Cornwall, Ontario. This is the other side of 9 o'clock hour here this morning. I would like to remind you all that we are still coming to you via CFRC 101.9 FM from the heart of downtown Kingston, Ontario, the Limestone City of Canada. And yes, we can also be heard via www.cfrc.ca, where you can find out more about donating to our annual funding drive happening now until the end of December. With that mentioned, we would like to welcome you all back into the Way Back Country Christmas here on CFRC. And as we welcome you all to the second hour here this morning, we'd also like to remind y'all that this past Thursday marked the 63rd birthday of our dear friend Daniel O'Donnell of Ireland, who I got to see back in September. Longtime fan of the show and also a dear friend of mine. Now, in honor of his 63rd birthday, I would like to play a double feature of Daniel's. First will be a couple of classics associated with Christmas, of course. First will be the all-time favorite, Christmas Story. Then we'll follow that with an Irish favorite titled Christmas in Innisfree. With that, I would like to welcome you all into the second hour of the Way Back Country Christmas and say good morning to all my listeners out there in Radio World.
The sound of silence echoed through the valley there below, and in the moonlight shadows walked two people in the snow, looking for a place to stay as night drew into morn. But little did salvation know a Savior would be born. And glory, hallelujah, sang the angels in the sky. They sang a prayer to heaven so that man would realize that God the Father sent His Son among us to forgive, to make this place we call our home a better place to live. The angels sang in heaven as a newborn baby cried. The shepherd and the three wise men could not believe their eyes as the shining star then guided them to the stable where He lay. A Savior, just a baby born upon a Christmas day. And glory, hallelujah, sang the angels in the sky. They sang a prayer to heaven so that man would realize that God the Father sent His Son among us to forgive, call our home a better place to live. To make this place we call our home a better place to
thank you.
Dreams are part of every exile, and tonight they're dear to me. For like all the whole world over, it's Christmas time in Innisfree. I can hear the church bells ringing, my mother's face I plainly see, as she holds a lighted candle this Christmas time in Innisfree. Church bells chime, Christmas time, time of love. When we all should pray for guidance from above, if your heart be kind and true, Christmas bells will chime for you, and the stars will shine to guide you from the blue. By her bedside she is kneeling, in her eyes a tear I see. She whispers, love, I hope you're happy this Christmas time in Innisfree. I still light that fairy candle as when you were here with me. A little child's eyes fill with gladness at Christmas time in Innisfree. Church bells chime, Christmas time, time of love. When we all should pray for guidance from above, if your heart be kind and true, Christmas bells will chime for you, and the stars will shine to guide you from the blue. Yes, the stars will shine to guide you from the blue.
Yes, friends, once again, it's that time in the program to welcome another Wayback Country guest of honor onto the program. During the first hour, we heard the first part of this great interview with Jimmy Hawkins, legendary pioneer of Hollywood and the 1946 all-time classic, It's a Wonderful Life. Now, this next guest, of course, played by Mr. Jimmy Hawkins, was none other than the youngest child of Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed, and was none other than Tommy Bailey. Now, this, following this second half of this interview, we will hear an all-time classic by the legendary Tennessee Plowboy, Eddie Arnold, and from Eddie will be an all-time classic titled Will Sanny Come to Shanty Town. With that, here now is Jimmy Hawkins.
And this guy that that put up the money was a big Wheeler dealer. He got us in that theater, the Brahmins Chinese, to premiere the film. Mm-hmm. And it took off. And like in 3 months, it had made over millions of dollars. Yes. It just got to be a big hit that would go over the Grauman's Chinese, and there'd be people in the 8 o'clock show, and they were all standing in line around the block to get into the 10 o'clock show. So it was very popular. It's the first thing I just wanted to go through the process of making a film. You know, actors, they come on in a certain time, and they are very important to the movie. Mm-hmm. But that isn't the movie. Then they get all the actors to do all their part. Now they got to edit it, they got to get music, all this other stuff that happens after the actor's there, and then all the stuff that happened before the actor. You have to write a script, you know, work with a writer to get the right script, and then you've got to hire directors, and you know, all the cast, the crew. And there's a lot of things. So I got to see the whole process, not just from an actor's point of view. And I said, I like this. This is great. So I went out and got other projects. I like biographical movies. I did the Satchel Paige story about first black pitcher in the major leagues, and he was just a real character. But when he got his shot at pitching in the major leagues, because blacks couldn't play in the major leagues when he was coming up, he was very old, baseball years, but pitched the Cleveland Indians into the World Series and got to pitch in the World Series. And it was a great film. Lou Gossett played Satchel Paige. And then I did a lot of other films like that, and I really enjoy it, and I'm still doing it today. I'm doing The Life of Mary Walker, the only woman to ever win the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Oh, very nice.
We're,
yeah.
Developing the script now on that. So, but the out of all the 400 movies I acted in and the pictures I produced, the one that rises to the top is It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes, okay.
People always want to talk about it and, you know, ask questions about it. And I've written 5 books on it.
Amazing, yes,
I know
for sure.
Okay. Quite a bit about it, and I've talked to all the principals, you know, Don Reed, Jimmy Stewart, the writer, and Frank Capra, of course, through the years, when we'd meet for and appear at different functions regarding It's Wonderful Life, I would talk to him, and he'd share stories that he'd never shared before with me. And so I put all these things in the books.
For sure.
And every holiday, Zuzu and I go to Carolyn Grimes. Go to a place called Seneca Falls, where there's an It's a Wonderful Life museum, and we appear there for 3 days on a weekend. In fact, I leave this Wednesday to go back there.
Oh, nice! Very
and,
nice. Yes.
Yeah, I think when this airs, I'll be in Seneca Falls on that Sunday.
Exactly.
So, it's been a wonderful experience, and there's so many people. The movie just keeps growing and growing. It was it didn't make money when it first was released. In fact, it lost $500,000.
Oh, wow, yes.
It was considered a flop.
I see.
But somebody at the studio, 30-some-odd years later, dropped the copyright, didn't pick it up, so it became public domain, and television really made It's Wonderful Life a hit. It's just grown and grown and grown since the 70s, and now it's the picture that everybody is aware of and people talk about. I go places, and like in Seneca Falls, and people come from Europe, from France, England. It's the number one Christmas movie in England. It was voted the number one film by the AFI as the most inspirational movie of all time.
Yes, for
and
sure.
So it just keeps growing bigger, and more people are aware of it. It's just one in a million. It just one day will be the greatest film ever made.
Yes, especially at this
Not
time of year, for sure. Yes, for sure.
Oh, yeah,
so
sure.
How, going back to 1946, how did you get that role?
Well, my mom would take me on an interview, and then you meet the director. First, the casting people, obviously, then Jim has got to like you. Then they suggest you for my first movie, which was Fred Zinnemann directed with Spencer Tracy.
Yeah.
And the director meets you, sees you, and talks to you and asks you maybe to do something to see if you can take direction. And so I got that film. But then, like I told you earlier, the AD came up and told my mom they need a kid like your kid next door.
Yes.
They can't find anybody. And, you know, I had this curly blonde hair, just like, you know, Lana Turner. And it was perfect, just perfect.
I see.
And so I got it that way. Then an agent reads these things that the studio send out. We need this kind of actor for this movie, age and stuff, and they just have a little blurb so that the agents call and say, I have somebody like that. So they said, I have a 4-year-old you're looking for, It's a Wonderful Life. I want to send them out.
I see.
So that's what we do. We go out and be interviewed, and they decide whether they think they'd be this person is right for that part or whatever.
So do you have any favorite memories of Jimmy Stewart?
Oh, quite a few. And people are amazed that at four and a half, I have these memories. And they're vivid. You know, I remember waking up very early in the morning, and it was dark, and we'd get a bus and then a streetcar way out to Culver City is where they shot the thing at RKO Cafe Studio, where they had shot Gone with the Wind and King Kong and all these different movies. So we went there, and it took us 12 days to shoot all the stuff with the Bailey kids in the film. And it was over, and you're going out on other interviews for other movies.
Yeah.
And everybody thought it was nice. This was Frank Capra's first movie and Jimmy Stewart's after World War II.
Okay, yes.
And so they were very, you know, oh, gee, do I still have it? You know, can I pull this off? And then to have the film be a flop.
Yeah, that's
Capra
true.
Capra couldn't understand it. He just couldn't understand. He said, this is the greatest film I've ever made. He said, in fact, I think it's the greatest film anybody's made. And he just didn't understand why it was a flop. He got up for 5 Oscars, but the box office wasn't what it should have been, what it used to be when he made movies before World War II.
Okay.
So, but, you know, God had other plans for it, and it was, if it had won the Oscar, it would never have been heard of again.
Okay, I see.
You can say, okay, what was the best film of 1946?
Yeah.
Nobody can mention it.
No,
but
for sure.
Everybody knows It's a Wonderful Life now.
Yes. So would you say that
it was better?
It got its legacy more recently because of the TV, like you were saying?
No, definitely. Yeah. They could show it for free. They didn't have to pay anybody to show it.
Exactly, yeah.
They tell it into public domain. So TV stations all over the United States played it all the time. I remember in 1990-something, it played in L.A. 11 times between Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Amazing.
11 times.
Wow, yes.
Within a 12-hour period. You go, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah, because it was free.
Probably.
Yeah, a different station, PBS, this channel, this network. Then they, in early 90s, they pulled some copyright laws and stuff, and then Paramount, that owns the film itself, copyrighted it again, and they're the only ones that can do anything with it, so
I
it's
see.
Shown exclusively on NBC every Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve. It isn't all over the air like it used to be on every station.
The same
now,
as
just on a certain controlled station.
Same as Wizard of Oz back in the day was on every show or every station, but now it's just once in a while, I find, too. So, yes.
Yeah, it's that's different because they have to pay for that.
Okay, okay.
But
It's a Wonderful
Life. It's a Wonderful Life for all those years because it fell into public domain.
Okay.
But now it's only exclusively for NBC and their other stations. They have other channels on the internet and stuff, and it plays on that too, but only through them.
I see.
Will Santy come to Shanty Town to a poor little boy like me? Will he bring me some toys like the other girls and boys? Will Santy come to Shanty Town if he sees our Christmas tree? Mommy said he would if I promised to be good. For we don't have a fireplace or a chimney on our shack like the other lucky children. children have who build across the track. Now if I say my prayers each day when Christmas rolls around, will Santa come to Shetty Town? Last Christmas Eve, doesn't he know we live here? Will my mommy have to paint my toys the way she did last year? Now if I say my prayers each day when Christmas rolls around, will Santa come to Shetty Town?
Yes, friends, once again, it's that time in the program to pay tribute to the great Canadian Northern Gems by even greater Canadian Northern legends. Once again, let's remember the legendary pioneers of Canadian country music and Christmas music here this morning with none other than Wolf Carter, the father of Canadian country music, to start things off here this morning with Pumpkinhead, the Christmas Bear. Then we'll follow with another classic by the Singing Post family from Prince Edward County up there in Picton and Belleville area. In memory of Norman Post, there'll be a classic called Christmas in the Country, and we'll wrap up with another song going out to my dear friends John and Kathy in Guelph, Ontario. For them today will be the King of Canadian Country Music, Stompin' Tom Connors, an all-time classic titled Jingle Jangle Aeroplane. With that, I'd like to welcome everybody into the program this morning. Good morning, friends.
They always call him Pumpkinhead, he is a sad little bear. And all because they laugh at him and make fun of his hair. It stands straight up and won't lie down no matter what we do. And no one wants to play with him, that's why he feels so blue. Pumpkinhead, Pumpkinhead, with a funny looking mop of hair. Pumpkinhead, Pumpkinhead, the sad little cute little bear. Then along came Santa Claus in his sleigh with a great big ho, ho, ho. With the elves and the clowns and the big parade all dancing through the snow. But one of the clowns got sick one day, no smile was on his face. They tried his hat on everyone, but none could take his place. Then up stepped Pumpkinhead to try, and much to his delight, the mop of hair just held it there, the hat it fit just right. Now Pumpkinhead is having fun, he's happy as can be. And so each year he brings good cheer right to your Christmas tree. Pumpkinhead, Pumpkinhead, with a funny looking mop of hair. Pumpkinhead, Pumpkinhead, that's the story of a happy little bear. Pumpkinhead, Pumpkinhead, that's the story of a happy little bear.
Each December in the country when the snow is on the ground and the children are as happy as can be, they're looking towards Christmas Day and the presents to be found Christmas morning underneath the Christmas tree.
For it's Christmas time in the country when Santa Claus comes once again. It's Christmas time in the country, peace on earth, goodwill towards men.
Now it's Christmas time in the country, and the children know each year that old Santa will be coming with new toys and lots of cheer. They're hoping that he'll bring the things that they want most of all. Little Kenny wants a brand new bike, little Debbie wants a doll.
Oh, it's Christmas time in the country country. When Santa Claus comes once again, yes, it's Christmas time in the country. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Now when finally Christmas Day arrives and Santa's been and gone, we gather round the fireplace and sing our Christmas songs. Uncle Fred and Aunt Ida sing the loudest of us all. And the children, they all shout aloud,
Merry Christmas, on and all!
Oh yes, it's Christmas time in the country. When Santa Claus comes once again, yes, it's Christmas time in the country. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Oh yes, it's Christmas time in the country. When Santa Claus comes once again, yes, it's Christmas time in the country. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men.
Jump on the band, plays jingle jangle, swing with a single tingle tangle, dance on the Christmas jingle jangle way. Jump with a jingle jingle jangle, swing with a single tingle tangle, dance the jingle jangle Christmas day. I was wondering if the fans rock and roll in foreign lands, so my aeroplane and me flew around the world to see. I found out they rock and roll in every place but the old North Pole, and there I saw them swing and sway, and I could hear old Santa say, jump on the band, plays jingle jangle, swing with a single tingle tangle, dance on the Christmas jingle jangle way. Jump with a jingle jingle jangle, swing with a single tingle tangle, dance the jingle jangle Christmas day. So I flew down and landed there, but Mrs. Claus's rocking chair, the reindeer jingle jangled by, and Rudolph held his red nose high. Hear the Christmas fairies sing, watch the brownies sway and swing, and then they taught me how to prance the Christmas jingle jangle dance. Jump on the band, plays jingle jangle, swing with a single tingle tangle, dance on the Christmas jingle jangle way. Jump with a jingle, jingle, jangle, swing with a single, tingle, tangle, dance the jingle, jangle, Christmas Day. Before I left the old North Pole, I forgot how to rock and roll. The jingle, jangle in my brain began to affect my aeroplane. It must have heard old Santa say, the jingle, jangle all the way, 'cause now it's in the Hall of Fame, a jingle, jangled aeroplane. Jump on the band, plays jingle jangle, swing with a single tingle tangle, dance on the Christmas jingle jangle way. Jump with a jingle jingle jangle, swing with a single tingle tangle, dance the jingle jangle Christmas day. Hey, dance the jingle jangle Christmas day.
I'm Carol Baker. You're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock on the Wayback Country Christmas, and I want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas.
One holy night in Bethlehem, they heard the angels sing to a carpenter, a mother, and
yes, friends, following those classic Canadian Northern gems by even greater Canadian Northern legends, we're back here on the Wayback Country Morning Show and Christmas Jamboree. And it's once again time to welcome Gunny, our beloved Dash Hound, to our program this morning with her top favorites. With this being Gunny's top favorites for this Christmas season, we would like to salute a collection of great songs to do with Santa and the reindeer. First of all, it's going to be an all-time classic by Hank Snow, the Singing Ranger in the Reindeer Boogie. This is also one of the most requested songs during this time of year on the Wayback Country Jamboree, even though I don't always play it. And then we'll follow with Wilbur the Christmas Mouse by Ralph Emery and Steve Hall, who always voiced Shotgun Red. And then we'll wrap up with none other than Hal Willis from Quebec and none other than a classic by him titled Kris Kringle's Crick. With that, I would like to welcome y'all to the Wayback Country Jamboree and once again thank Gunny for her contribution to today's program. Welcome and friends.
Sal had a cup of coffee and he ate a little snack. Throwed his old pack right over his back. Opened the window of his little shack and shouted, "Oh, Dasher and Dancer, Vixen and Blitzen, come on here. We gotta get a going and spread some cheer. So limber your legs and sharpen your hooves, 'cause tonight is the night we're gonna jump to the roof." So the reindeer, they were so proud and grand to take another trip all over the land. They jumped right into their proper place to get hepped up for that midnight race. Santa, he shook off the ice and snow, boated his sleigh and then yelled, "Let's go." All of the little toys were happy to be, 'cause they were so bright and new. A little piano then started to play. Old Santa began to swing and to sway. Thought he heard a toy drum start to beat, but he found it was the rhythm of the reindeer's feet. Oh, the reindeer boogied in the middle of the road. "Tonight we have a mighty big load on. Boogie to the left and a boogie to the right. Do the reindeer boogie this Christmas Eve night." Boogie in the middle of the road. "Tonight we have a mighty big load on. Boogie to the left and a boogie to the right. Do the reindeer boogie this Christmas Eve night."
There was a stack for Santa on the mantelpiece, and the stockings were hung with cake.
And everyone in the family was fast asleep, and magic filled the air.
Outside, the wind was swirling, snow that had fallen last night. Not a creature was stirring, but then that's not exactly right.
Down the chimney came Wilbur, the hungry little Christmas mouse. Down the chimney came Wilbur, and he was stirring all around the house.
He ate all the cookies on Santa's plate, and candy canes, 1, 2, 3.
Then he ate all the popcorn that was strong and hung all around the Christmas tree.
Down the chimney came Wilbur, the hungry little Christmas mouse. Down the chimney came Wilbur, and he was stirring all around the house.
After Wilbur had eaten for a while, he took a nap and he looked so cute.
But he awoke in the hand of a jolly old man with a beard and a big red suit.
He said, "Wilbur, you know it's not right to sneak in and eat things that don't belong to you."
Santa put him in his pack he had slung across his back and said, "This is what we're gonna do."
Down the chimney came Wilbur, with Santa into every house. Down the chimney came Wilbur, the hungry little Christmas mouse.
Santa let him share the snacks left there for him at every stop.
And Wilbur had so much to eat that night that he thought he was gonna pop.
Down the chimney came Wilbur, with Santa into every house. Down the chimney came Wilbur, the hungry little Christmas mouse. Down the chimney came Wilbur, with Santa into every house. Down the chimney came Wilbur, the chubby little Christmas mouse.
'Cause the night before Christmas, all through the house, not a creature was stirring.
Except Wilbur. Wilbur the Christmas Mouse.
It's well known that Santa Claus sure gets around, but in the twilight of his years he's slowing down. Still he shows up every Christmas with a heart as big as Texas, and for sure he's more than welcome in our town. You still can see that merry twinkle in his eye as all his famous reindeer fly him through the sky. He should always be protected, most of all should be respected. If you don't believe me, I will tell you why. Kris Kringle's got a crick in his back ever since he heard his sacroiliac. He's been in pain and really aching, but he knows the chance he's taken, going up and down those chimneys with his sack. Mother Nature's got a way to take its toll, and that includes old Santa Claus, so I've been told. Still he's merry, warm and jolly, standing there amongst the holly when he should be home in bed, God bless his soul. But still he shows up in his splendid coat of red, with all the things we want for Christmas on his sled. And with a belly full of ho, 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 we still can put on quite a show. But we should repeat again just what's been said. Kris Kringle's got a crick in his back ever since he heard his sacroiliac. He fell down the burning chimney, it was hot, but oh my chimney, it was faster going down than coming back. Santa won't give in when things are looking black, that's why he's now receiving treatments for his back. He forgot the force of gravity going through the chimney cavity, and he got himself caught in the cul-de-sac. He'll have to diet while his clones pick up the slack, and faithfully consult his Christmas almanac. 'Cause when he's lost the right amount of weight, he'll gladly carry all the freight. Now he's down to carrying just a half a pack. Kris Kringle's got a crick in his back ever since he heard his sacroiliac. He fell down the burning chimney, it was hot, but oh my chimney, it was faster going down than coming back. Kris Kringle's got a crick in his back ever since he heard his sacroiliac. He fell down the burning chimney, it was hot, but oh my chimney, it was faster going down than coming back. Kris Kringle's got a crick in his
back. Come Santa Claus, here come Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane, fixin' and blixin' and all his reindeers pulling on the rain.
Hello from the North Pole, friends. This here is your friend Santa Claus, along with your host, Johnny Woodlock. And we would like to wish you, the listeners of the Way Back Country Jamboree, a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Keep listening to Johnny here at CFRC. Ho, ho, ho.
Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stockings and say your prayers, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Well, yes, friends, we have reached the final part of this great visit with Hollywood's great legend, the golden era of acting, Jimmy Hawkins, who, during this final part of this interview, talks about his memories of the legendary Gene Autry, the king of country Christmas music, and also Miss Gail Davis, who always will be remembered as Miss Annie Oakley. Following this final part of this visit, we will hear an all-time favorite, as recorded in the 1950s by none other than Gene Autry, and is called Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So with that, here now is our final piece of this great interview with Jimmy Hawkins.
Going back to Gene Autry for a minute, what was he like to work with?
Great. He was just a regular person.
Yes.
such a big star. I mean, he invented the singing cowboy back in the 30s.
That's
he
right.
The first. Yes. And then he wanted to go and serve this country and join the army, and the head of the studio told him, you don't have to go, I'll get you out. He said, I don't want you to get me out. I want to join the army. Yes. And this was the studio's big star. I mean, they were making money off of him and charging more for other movies they made in order to get Gene Autry exclusive in their theaters.
Yes.
And they didn't like that. And so he, the head of it, Republic Studios was the studio, this guy named Herb Yates, and he told Gene Autry, I'm going to make another cowboy, a bigger star than you ever were.
Yes.
And when you come out of the army, uh-huh, they won't even know about you anymore. He's uh-huh about, I'll take that chance. I want to serve my country.
Yeah.
And so that's when Roy Rogers stepped in.
That's right,
and
yes.
During
yes
the war years, Roy Rogers uh-huh was the number one cowboy, singing cowboy.
Yes.
But then when Gene Autry came out, he finished up a few movies that he owed Republic and then went exclusively to Columbia.
Okay.
And released all his films during yeah there. And he came back very strong. He yeah played like Madison Square Garden for 33 straight days.
Amazing, yes.
Like
sure
three, four, five shows a day.
Yes.
And broke every record that was ever at Madison Square. So they didn't forget him.
For sure.
And of course,
sure
he had all these hit records all
yeah
the time, you know, Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That was after the World War II. It's just a very savvy guy, very nice, very humble, never, you know, played big shot or anything.
I see.
Yeah. Who he was, and he just was a fabulous businessman, got into radios and, you know, owned radio stations and then later TV stations. And all he ever wanted to do, I remember when we were riding in his private plane to these fairgrounds, he'd talk about baseball. He loved baseball. He said, just talked about owning a team one day.
Yeah.
And he did, mm-hmm, you know. Owned the Angels, started them off, and I owned TV stations in Hollywood. Just a very bright person.
For sure. For
but
sure
nice.
Yes, okay. So he's very humble then, I see. Very down to earth. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I see.
Yep.
And so what do you remember about Gail?
Oh, Gail Davis, she was great. She was very nice. She was too nice.
Yes.
People would
yes
take advantage of her niceness and everything. Yes. And, you know, we'd be on the road doing personal appearances. And we got along great. We stayed friends. You know, I was with her the day she passed away
okay
in the hospital.
Yes.
I was doing a project with Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. And Dale Evans knew that Gail was dying. And so she wrote her a letter. He said, would I give it to her?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, sure. So yes. Gail asked me to read it to her.
Yes.
And her daughter was there in the hospital. And so I read her this letter, beautiful letter. And I told her daughter, I said, well, what's your schedule? What do you do? You know, stay here till 11 or what?
Uh-huh.
She said, I usually stay here till 11 till she falls asleep, and then I go home. And I said, don't go home tonight.
Yeah.
Be with her tonight.
Exactly.
And then,
mm-hmm,
and that's the night she passed away.
I see.
So she wasn't alone. She had her daughter with
so
her.
So you kind of knew, more or less. Yes.
Pardon me?
I say you kind of knew that she wasn't going to be long for her.
Oh, yeah. I just yeah felt it. Yes. I just something told me.
Yeah.
Tell the daughter to stay there.
I
be
see
with her.
So looking at a career like you have had, who stands out as favorites or most iconic people that you would have worked with?
They all in their own ways. I mean, I remember I was doing a movie at Columbia, and my agent called me about 10 or 11 in the morning and said, Ozzie Nelson wants to meet you today at 1 o'clock. Can you
yeah
make it? And so I asked the AD to go at 1 o'clock to meet somebody. Will you be needing me? He said, nah, I'll be at lunchtime and just be back by 2:30.
I see.
Nah, okay. So I went over to where Ozzy Nelson's shop, his show, and the guy said, well, Ozzy will be here in a second. And I said, okay. So all of a sudden, and walks Ozzy Nelson. I went, oh my God. And he goes, hey, Jimmy, how are you? You know, he had seen me on Donna Reed's show the night before, and they were looking for a new character on Ozzy and Harriet. And he said to his associate producer, I told you, you didn't have to bring him in. Just ask him if he wants to do the show. Do you want to do the show, Jimmy? I said, oh, I'd love to do your show.
Yeah.
No, okay, give him the script, and we'll see you next week, and welcome. And that was it.
Nice.
I did that show for about 3 years.
Amazing.
And
yeah.
It just was great. So he was great. I did My Three Sons. I was doing a scene with Fred McMurray.
Okay,
and
yes.
They went to light the next shot. We did it in the long shots, you know. And now they're moving in for a close up of the two of us. And so they said, okay, the second team, that means the stand-ins, come in. And the cinematographer jumped in and said, oh, just Mr. McMurray, it's only going to take me less than a minute to light it. Could you just stay yourself, you know? And Fred McMurray turned to me and said, well, that'd be all right. I said, oh, yeah, sure. So we were standing there for less than a minute. But in that minute, he turned to me and said, I want to tell you something. I think you're a very fine young actor.
Amazing.
And I went, oh, wow. I thought, wow, Fred McMurray, oh, wow. So, you know, then I did more of those shows. So I was very fortunate, you know, to be liked by the people that I was, you know, right to work with. So just love the business. I've always been in the business, still in the business.
Amazing. So, to coin a phrase, it's been a wonderful life then for you.
Yes, it has.
It really has. So I have one more question for you today, and I'd love to do another in-depth interview with you at some point if you have time. But how do you spend Christmas nowadays? I know you go to Seneca Falls and that sort of thing.
Yeah, we're there, not going to Vegas this year for something, a private party.
Yes.
And but I spend it with family.
Amazing.
Oh,
that's nice.
Now it's my brother and his family, and but it's always family.
Okay.
And it's always been family since I was, you know, can remember Christmas.
Yes.
It was people, we wouldn't see them all year, but they'd show up at our house.
On Christmas, I see, yes, for sure.
Yeah, Christmas Eve. We always open presents at midnight.
Yes, okay.
So,
okay. Well, that's great.
They put my brother and I to bed at 8 o'clock, but boy, midnight came. Hurry up, Santa's here. Hurry. Oh, and then we'd miss him.
Yes.
Every year.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, like gone. Well, the cookies were gone, so he must have been here, you know?
Exactly.
But always family.
I see, yes.
Grandparents, you know. Very close,
and that's great. Yes,
yeah,
for sure. Well, with that, Jimmy, I thank you for a wonderful conversation, and we'll be in touch. And have a merry Christmas.
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks again.
Take care.
Right.
Bye bye.
Bye now.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen. Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history. Saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Well, yes, friends, once again, we have reached the end of the second hour of the Way Back Country Christmas for this third week of Christmas celebrations here at the Way Back Country Jamboree Morning Show. As we send us into the top of the third and final hour at 10 o'clock here, let's remember a couple of classics about putting Christ back into Christmas. First will be, of course, Put Christ Back into Christmas by Coal Miner's Daughter, Miss Loretta Lynn. And then we'll send us up into the very top of the hour with legendary yodeling legend Slim Whitman and a classic called Where's Christ in Christmas. With that, I'd like to talk to y'all on the other side of the hour and just say good morning to everybody listening in.
It's that time of year again. Christmas in the air again, and everyone's got giving in their hearts. All the stores are brightly lit, filled with people buying gifts. And the day I got some Xmas cards, glad to hear from them. But I know something's happening. Christmas isn't what it used to be. And I know they all mean well, but Christmas isn't hard to spell. So there'll be no Xmas cards from me. Let's put Christ back in Christmas. No X-M-A-S on our cards. After all, what's Christmas worth? The date of the Christ child's birth. If we don't have Christ in our hearts, after all, what's Christmas worth? The day of the Christ child's birth. If we don't have Christ.
smell of shoppers, bright window displays. Children are carefully counting the days. Gifts for the giving, no matter the cost. Nobody notices something's been lost. Silent night is now just a sweet song. Angels are singing, no one sings alone. Once simple shepherds heard news of a king. We are such wise men, yet no gift we bring. Where is the Christ in Christmas? Let us make room in the inn. Where is the Christ in Christmas? Christmas belongs to him. Turn back the years to the old holidays, families and firesides and hearts all ablaze. Mary and Joseph and one holy child, giving with love in the old-fashioned style. Where is the Christ in Christmas? Let us make room in the inn. Where is the Christ in Christmas? Christmas belongs to him. Let there be Christ in Christmas. Christmas belongs to
listen to Johnny Woodlock. Well, you're in luck, Mr. Potter, because Johnny Woodlock is presenting his Way Back Country Christmas show every Sunday. Where can I hear that? On CFRC 101.9 every Sunday. It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes, friends, once again, we're back here on the Way Back Country Jamboree, sitting on the other side of the 10 o'clock hour. That means one more great hour of Christmas classics coming to y'all from the Way Back Country Jamboree and Country Christmas, which is now in its 8th year of Christmas programming at this time of year. We're also coming to you via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios in Cornwall, Ontario, and also being heard proudly over historic CFRC 119 FM from the heart of downtown Kingston, Ontario, the Limestone City of Canada. We can also be heard via www.cfrc.ca, where you can find out more about donating to our annual funding drive happening now until the end of December. And it is my hope that y'all can help us into the future with donating to our program as well as this station. As we share the music of Christmas here this morning, I'd also once again like to play a double feature this morning by a man who would have turned 96 years young today, that being the late great Ernie Ashworth, who will forever be remembered for classic Talk Back